who had begun to believe that maybe after you get saved, you can lose your salvation. And it was the first false teaching that ever came in the church. And so Paul continually uses illustrations to show the difference between trying to put works into salvation and add that to faith. Works and faith do not mix. They're two separate things. You have to be saved by faith in order for God to accept your works. But your works have nothing to do with your salvation that leads you to it or that you have to add to it afterwards. Works that are performed before you're saved cannot be done by Christ because he's not in you. And after you're saved, if you're trying to do those works to help Christ keep you saved, you're making a serious mistake, because after Christ comes in you, you're supposed to learn to work because you love Christ and not because you're afraid he's going to leave you or forsake you. Now, an allegory is where you take two things and you lay them out side by side. That's what an allegory is. You make one of them one thing. You make the other another thing. And both of them may not be directly related to the subject, but they illustrate what the writer's trying to get across. So we're going to deal with the children of bondage and the children of promise. In this world today, we have an awful lot of people that are sitting in church pews this morning that are children of bondage. They're still trying to keep the commandments of God to go to heaven. The problem is the commandments of God are so good that nobody can perfectly keep them. And you have to keep all of them to go to heaven, and you can't. So God gave the commandments, and he wants you to try to obey them. But when you fail, he wants you to confess you fail and ask for forgiveness. But children of promise are based on a promise that God made, and your salvation is based on God's promise. So that brings me to the question, how good is God's promise? What do you think? Can you think of anybody other than God who will always keep a promise? And what we're really talking about here is just how good is God's promise? How good is his word? Well, I'm a child of promise. The allegory of Ishmael and Isaac portrayed as one born of a bondwoman. Ishmael was born of Hagar. It was a very cleverly devised plan. God told Abraham, I promise you a son. But Sarah was a very old woman, past childbearing age. Her womb was barren. She could not possibly have a child. But God told Abraham, I promise you a son from Sarah. Well, Sarah and Abraham waited a little while. But then they said, you know, I think we need to help God on this. Sarah said, since I can't have children, Abraham, why don't you go into my handmaiden, Hagar the Egyptian, have relations with her, and she can have your child, and then she'll give the child to me, and it'll be my child and your child. But that's not what God promised. But it's salvation by works. So he's going to take Ishmael, and Paul's going to make Ishmael those that are in bondage under the law. The allegory of Ishmael and Isaac portrayed as one born of a bondwoman, the other of a free woman. Sarah was the free woman. She was the one who Abraham freely chose as his wife. She chose him as her husband, and she was the free woman, and she's the one God said, I promise the child will come from her, but they thought God needed help. It is amazing today on this planet that most of the people who claim to be children of God think that God needs their help either to get saved or to stay saved. And that is the one thing God does not want you to do, because God does not want your labor for salvation. He wants your love and respect, and he wants you to believe what he says. That's what my salvation is based on, his promise, what he says. The allegory of Ishmael and Isaac, portrayed as one born of a bondwoman and the other of a free woman, is one of the great classics of salvation by works, portrayed in the birth of Ishmael by the work devised by Sarah and Abraham, and salvation by grace, portrayed in the birth of Isaac by the promise of God. So if there's any question in any of your minds about whether you have to work to get salvation or you have to work afterwards to keep it, I hope this allegory forever settles it in your mind. Ishmael, this is the allegory, born after the flesh by work of man's power. Isaac, born of a promise by the power of God's Spirit. I was born from above by the power of God's Spirit. He convicted me that I was sinful. I believed his promise, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I believed what the Scripture says, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And I called upon Jesus Christ, and he saved me. That's why I know I'm going to heaven. It's not based on my works. It's based on my belief in the promise of God's power. Galatians 4:23. But he, Paul writing in Galatians, but he, Ishmael, who was of the bondwoman, Hagar, was born after the flesh. He's going to portray two things to you. What it means to be born after the flesh, what it means to be born after the Spirit. If you're going to go to heaven, you've got to be born of the Spirit, and it has to be by promise. But he, Ishmael, who was born of the bondwoman, was born after the flesh, and but he, Isaac, of the free woman, was by promise. God promised Abraham. All he had to do was wait. But they thought God needed their help. Right here in this town, from one city limit to another, most of the churches this morning that are meeting have this heresy in them. And it spread across the early churches. And now it's all over creation in our churches. And they believe you have to help God either to get saved or to keep it after you get saved. And that was the very first heresy in the church. Down through the century, those who have attempted to be accepted as children of God by works of their flesh are well documented as persecuting those accepted as the children of God through the new birth of the Spirit. They can't stand people that preach against salvation by works. And they are continually putting the bad mouth on us. What? You mean that once saved, always saved? You mean I can do anything I want and go to heaven? And they've got a million and one different expressions they use. But I'm saved by promise, not by works. Do I perform works? Certainly. Why do I perform them? Because I love God. How do I know I love God? I don't have to perform them, because I'm saved by promise. That's how I know I love God. Because I am doing them, not to stay saved, but because I love him. That's my motivation. Galatians 4:29. But as then he, Ishmael, that was born after the flesh, persecuted him, Isaac, that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Most of the people in this town don't like what we teach, because they believe you've got to add works to it to stay saved, and they cannot stand the idea of someone being free by a promise. I don't make the rules. I just abide by them. Ishmael was born after the flesh, a work of man conceived by Sarah and Abraham. But Isaac was born by the Spirit of God in a barren womb that could not bear children because God gave a promise of it. I was saved by promise, not by works. All those who are born of the Spirit by faith in Christ are the spiritual children of promise and of Abraham, as was Isaac, whether they are Jew or Gentile. God promised Abraham a son from the barren womb of a woman past the age of childbearing, and Abraham believed the good news, the gospel. The Bible says that God preached the gospel to Abraham. We're going to see that in a moment. And Abraham believed the good news, the gospel. And Abraham had faith in the promise of God. Sarah didn't, but Abraham did. And that's why I'm a child of Abraham by faith. The only reason I'm going to heaven, because I repented of my sins and called upon the name of the Lord to save me. I just repented of what I am and asked the Lord to save me. There wasn't any work in that. He saved me by grace through faith. God told Abraham that he would bless all the nations through that seed, that promised seed, Isaac. And I believed it. So I am one of the spiritual children of promise and of Abraham. I'm not a child of the flesh. I'm a child of God's promise. My faith in that promised seed is righteousness God gave me. It is the only righteousness I will ever possess. So if you think you're a pretty good old boy from Yale County by natural birth, you're sadly mistaken. The only righteousness you have is that which the Lord gave you. And the only reason you have that is because you had faith that Jesus could save you. Galatians 4:28. He says, now we brethren, born-again believers, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. I was saved by promise. I don't have anything to do with his works for salvation. I'm not a child of bondage. I've been set free in Christ Jesus. Now, these principles in Galatians are very important. People ask, why are there so many churches? Well, I'll tell you one of the reasons. Most of them teach you can lose your salvation, which was the first heresy that was ever introduced into the church. And it's ungodly. It's pure, absolute heresy. Now, you might as well face it. That's what it is. And that's what most of the churches in this community believe. And it is heresy, it is ungodly, and it is wrong. I can't call it anything else. It's wrong. In God's eyes, it's wrong. Galatians 3, 6 through 9, and verse 16. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, it is his belief, not his works. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. I'm a child of Abraham. I have the faith in God's promise of that seed, the same seed that Abraham believed he would be given, and that seed, direct descendant, was Jesus Christ. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, Gentiles, through faith, preached before the good news. That's what gospel is unto Abraham. You want to see the gospel in the Old Testament? Here it is. Saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. What's he talking about? The seed of Abraham, Isaac, through Jacob, through Judah, through David, through Zerubbabel, through Heli, the father of Mary, conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary miraculously. And I'm one of the nations. I'm one of the Gentiles. And I'm blessed. Because I believe the good news. I believe that seed was Jesus Christ the Messiah. I believe he was crucified for my sins, resurrected for my justification. And all of my faith is in him. It is not in anything else. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. If you've got your faith anywhere except in Jesus, pull it out and put it in Christ. That's the only salvation there is. You can't pay the price for your own sins, but Jesus did. And once you receive Christ as your Savior, you're set free from the bondage and condemnation of God, and you're set free to serve the Lord by love and thanksgiving for the marvelous gift he gave you by grace, which was salvation in Jesus Christ. Galatians 3:16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Notice very carefully what he says. This is the gospel. He saith not unto seeds, as of many, but as of one, to thy seed, which is Christ. Christ is a direct descendant of Abraham, through Isaac, through Jacob, through Judah, through Zerubbabel, through Heli, the father of Mary. And the seed was conceived, singular seed, made by God in the womb of the Virgin Mary, and brought forth as the promised seed. And that's the good news. The seed was Christ. The seed became a man. The seed never sinned. The seed died for my sins. And now the seed is in heaven, and all power in heaven and earth is given unto him. That's my salvation. That's why I go to bed at night. Don't worry about it, whether I wake up or not. That's why I'm not afraid of losing my salvation. Lord have mercy, if I had to do something to keep it, how much do you have to do? You have to do as much as Jesus did. He's the only one who ever did. And he imputed his righteousness to me. All those professing they are the children of Abraham by keeping the works of the law delivered by God at Mount Sinai are still under the curse of the law that was given to lead them to Christ when it revealed to them the depth of their sinfulness and their inability to measure up to God's standard of righteousness. There are some people that after they supposedly get saved, and maybe they are, they get in false teaching in one of these many churches in this town, and they're taught they can lose their salvation, and they try to put themselves right back under the law. They are saved, and when they are saved, they are set free from bondage. And the book of Galatians says, don't go back under that. Don't go back under it and start trying to keep the law to keep yourself saved. Here's why. James 2:10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all. One slip. Just one slip of all of those rules in the first five books of the Bible called the Torah or the Pentateuch, the law of Moses. One slip and you're guilty as if you had broken every one and you're hellbound. You can't measure up to the standard of God's righteousness before you're saved, when you're saved, or after you're saved. But God's standard of righteousness makes you see what a mean booger you really are. And after you get saved, the more you study the Word, the more sinful you recognize yourself as being, and the closer it draws you to God, because the more grateful you are of what you have. We're all in the same boat. Galatians 3:10 through 14. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Why go back under the curse after you've been saved? For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So after you get saved, does that mean you can keep the law? For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Now that you're saved, do you think you can love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your might and all your soul and your neighbor as yourself? If you say yes, you're a liar. You've lied. And so you've at least broken one point of it. You say, well, what's the purpose of the law? To show your love for God. Make an effort. Make an effort. Make an effort to let this mind be in Christ, which was also in you. And when you fail, ask him for forgiveness. He'll love giving you forgiveness because at least you're trying. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Laws and mercy, you don't know how many times I've heard that scripture quoted by people that say you can lose your salvation. They say, see, it's your faith that justifies you, and a just man does good works. That's the biggest bunch of baloney ever came down the pike. Do you know what a just man is? He's justified. That's what a just man is, someone that's justified. Well, what justifies you? Are your works. The justified shall live by faith. You can't live by faith unless you've been justified by it. And after you've been justified by it, then you have the faith of Christ living in you, and you can live by faith. But you can't live by faith until you've been justified by it. And the law is not of faith. The man that doeth them shall live in them. All you got to do is keep every one of them, and you can't do it. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, on a cross, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Well, Bob, it's pretty good having your faith on a promise, isn't it? It feels great. I mean, it feels wonderful. I mean, there's nothing like it. I mean, it's the most amazing thing in all of creation and God's plan to know you're going to heaven because God promised it. So where's your faith? It's in God. If your faith is in your works, it's not in God. It's in God's promise. Oh, I'm thankful for that. Well, I got one more sheet. Boy, my throat is just about conked out. I don't know what you think of this, but I'm loving every minute of it. You cannot live by faith before being justified by God through your belief in His Son, Jesus Christ. You have no idea how it's blessed me in this church that you give me the time to study. I don't know how much you've been benefited from my ministry here, but I know one thing. I have tremendously benefited. I know this stuff is true because I have to dig it out, look up all the words, and research it. And the one who gets the greatest blessing out of all my preaching is not you, it's me. And God preaches to me more than he's ever preached to any of you. And I've had to repent a million times more than you have, because I know it's the truth. You cannot live by faith before being justified by God through your belief in his Son, Jesus Christ. Therefore, a man can only be identified as just if, that should be if he was justified by faith and not by works. A just man is a justified man. So when the scripture says the just shall live by faith, it does not even suggest that he will live before God because of his works. A just man is one who is justified freely by God's grace extended to him through the price of blood redemption his Son paid for his salvation at Golgotha. You know what I really appreciate? When you walk in this back door, and you come in here, and you walk in here, and you head down toward the front, I know you're not here because you're afraid God's going to send you to hell if you don't come here. And when you reach in your resources and you put money in the plate, I know it's not because you're trying to gain God's favor so you can go to heaven. You're here because he set you free from the bondage and condemnation you were under, and you love him. The only question we have to ask ourselves after we're saved is how much we love him. And the more you attend, the more you work, the more you love him. Because you don't have to work. You don't have to give. You don't have to come to church. You don't have to be faithful. Your salvation is based on promise. So when you come down here, you know where that leaves your motivation? In love. You don't come down here to keep your salvation. You come down here to thank God for it. And it's based on love. Romans 3:24-28. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. For God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. To declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. Through the forbearance of God, when that blood trickled down the cross, all the sins of the past were forgiven. How far back? Well, when did the promise start? Genesis 3:15. Who was the first one that was killed? Abel. Who followed Abel? Seth. Enoch. Noah. Abraham. Isaac. Jacob. Who'd they have their faith in? The seed of Genesis 3:15. When that blood went down that cross, when that body was pierced, when that agony was suffered, when that man died, he died for all of our sins, past, present, and future. That's how great the blood of Christ is. That's how amazing God's grace is. Through the forbearance of God, through all those animal sacrifices, he waited. But every one of them in the Old Testament had believed his promise. We're children of God by promise and not by their works. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness. Oh, I thank God that I don't have any righteousness of my own. I thank God I don't have any righteousness of my own. Suppose I had been born righteous. Oh, could I have stayed righteous? No! I don't have any righteousness of my own. But I have his. And his is proven. And I'll always have it. And it's all I have. And it's all I want. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, will justify of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. One of the great burdens of my heart I carry is to see the descendants of Abraham in the flesh through Isaac, the son of promise, and his other seven sons that came by Keturah and Hagar trying to keep the commandments of the Torah and the Koran to attain a place in heaven. I feel only sadness in seeing them reject their inheritance. Galatians 4:30. This is the end of the allegory. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman, the law, and her son, for the child of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman, the promise in Christ, Sarah. So then, brethren, we're not children of the bondwoman, but of the free in Christ. If the Son shall set you free, ye shall be free indeed. Free to what? Free to love God. Free to know that if you're doing something, if you're coming down here, that you're coming down here to worship and to thank Him, to show your gratitude. There were a large number of lepers that were healed, yet only one of them came back. Jesus asked, where are the others? Your church attendance, your giving, your works, they have to be based on love, because you already have the eternal gift of God. As Kay comes, as the song leader comes, Danny comes, we're only going to have one stanza. If you need to come this morning, you come.